the old saying, the only type of ship that doesn't float is a partnership. It's like, I think that there's times that that's true, but I also think that there's times that it's not.
Welcome to the Insurance Refocus podcast, where we're highlighting real agent stories and how they are innovating to respond to the changes and challenges happening in the independent insurance industry. My name's Lindsay, and I can't wait to introduce you to my amazing co-host who just so happens to be my mom, Carrie Wallace. Mom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Lindsay. We've had a really, really good week this week, and I'm happy that it's coming to a close, but I am doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I was coming out of the grocery store earlier, and my Girl Scout cookie dealer was standing out there. And so I've been all about the Girl Scout cookies this week. It's been a good week.
Yeah, I wish you'd share those Girl Scout cookies with me, I got to tell you.
Well, today on the podcast, we have a super special guest. We're going to talk all about partnerships, agents, how they happen, what goes into that conversation, how you know you're making a good one, and all those fun things. So welcome, Chris May. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. I'm happy to be here, excited to be here, and honored to be here. So I've enjoyed listening to you guys' content. So I'm happy to be on here with you.
Well, to get started, first to get started, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Because you just said you have six-year-olds. Are they in Girl Scouts?
They are not, but that's an easy question to answer. If you say anything other than Samoas, I'm probably going to judge you. That's the coconut one, right? The chocolate with coconut over the top. That's the only valid answer.
My dealer did not have Samoas this year.
You need a new plug.
She probably got she probably sold out or whatever. I got to tell you, Samoas are the bomb. So I agree with you 1,000%. And I am a little disappointed that I have not run into any little Girl Scout cookie dealers. But I probably have to go to the grocery store to make that happen. And it's not in my future. So
I don't know if y'all have gotten hit up by the popcorn salesmen that do that. The Boy Scouts do popcorn sales, and their prices are not nearly as friendly as the Girl Scout cookies. It was like $24 for a bag of popcorn. I was like, I think we're going to pass on this. It was crazy. Yeah. Like, I support
Absolutely
what you guys
not.
Are doing, but
That's crazy. When I was in school, for school, we sold, was it like deep dish pizza, Mom? Mm-hmm. Was that what it was? And like garlic breadsticks and things? They were really good. I actually miss those. That just brought up a lot of memories from that. But jumping into insurance content, how did you get started in the industry?
So like most people, I just fell into it. When I grew up, all I ever really wanted to be was a head high school football coach and an athletic director. Like that was the trajectory for me. I played football in college, so it was just natural progression. I'm getting into coaching. That's what I want to do, and got into teaching and coaching and just kind of realized it just wasn't for me. You know, that it just, I didn't like working 100 hours a week and then looking at my paycheck. And it's like, if I do the math on this, I made like $3 an hour. Like I love the one-on-one aspect of coaching and being around kids and like seeing them improve. And I'm ultra competitive. So that all fit really, really well with the sports background and with getting into coaching, but just the time that was in it. And I just kind of realized that, man, if I want to really be around my kids when they grow up, I'm not going to be able to be a coach. So decided to get out of teaching and coaching, and I fell into an advertising sales job and just really didn't like it at all. It was really, really hard, pressy sales, and that's just not my personality. And my mentor called me one day, the guy that had like really poured into me and just a huge influence in my life through college, called me and was like, hey man, are you happy where you're working? I was like, no, I'm looking for a job right now. He said, well, I know a guy that owns an insurance agency. Do you want to interview for this gig? And I was like, honestly, no, but out of respect for you, I'll happily go sit and learn about it. I just had this idea of insurance was, you know, just really, really boring, pleated khaki pants and, you know, glasses down to the brim of your nose. That was my picture of insurance. And I went and interviewed with the guy that I ended up working for 2 years, and just decided immediately after that interview, I don't care what I do, I want to work for this guy. And took that job with the intentions of being there, you know, 20, 25 years or however long and retiring from there. And obviously we'll get into this in a minute, but, you know, plans kind of changed along that path, but I just fell into it. And really I took the job in insurance based off the guy that I was working for. And I was just a really, really big fan of him. And there's a quote that I heard a guy say that, I don't know if either of y'all know who Colin Cowherd is. He's a big sports talking head. And I listened to a lot of his sports talk, and he said this, and it was kind of as I was going through that transition. And he said, don't ever chase money, chase good management, because there's plenty of money to be made. And it just stuck with me. So I took that job, you know, with the intentions of being there for a long time, and just fell into the insurance industry like most people do.
So take me from where you were then to now you are the owner of LTN Insurance. And that was not a straight line either, right?
No, not in the slightest. So yeah, I was with a captive carrier for that I worked for, the guy that owned that agency, for right at 2 years. And I was there about a year, and that itch to start my own business just wouldn't go away. I had that as I was leaving the coaching world. I read Shoe Dog, which is Phil Knight's book about how he started Nike. And it just gave me this itch to want to do that. And this was in, that would have been 2017. And I took that job, you know, with the intentions of being there for a long time, and that itch just wouldn't go away. I tried scratching it with doing some radio broadcasting and doing some other stuff with the college that I went to, and it just wouldn't go away. So eventually I just sat down and thought, maybe I should open an agency myself. Like, insurance is a great business to be in, you know, that quote unquote boring side of insurance that I thought I had the picture of. Once you get into it, it's like, man, this is actually a really, really good business model. And I enjoy helping people. I enjoy solving problems. It's like, why would I go try and reinvent the wheel somewhere else when I have experience doing this? So I went through the whole interview gambit, interviewed with, you know, State Farm, interviewed with some independent agencies around our area, and ultimately just decided that I wanted to do it. I wanted to do the independent channel for sure. I just knew that I wasn't going to be a captive agent. It just, my personality just didn't mesh well with that. And interviewed with one guy that he was basically going to offer me a job that was going to double my salary like day one. I was going to get the same salary that I was making at the prior agency plus commission on top of it. But I asked him in the interview something along the lines of, how do I get to owning a piece of this agency? I didn't know this at the time, but it was one of the largest agencies in the state of Alabama. So me sitting down as this, you know, I've been in insurance for 14 months at the time, and I'm asking this guy for ownership of his agency, which just kind of shows you just how naive I was about how that process went. But he said no without saying no. And I got the hint of, he basically said, oh, we'll see, you know, if you can hit some metrics, maybe we'll have a conversation. I was like, man, that's not the answer I'm looking for. Let me figure something else out. And had a guy offer me, kind of quasi offer me a job to come on board with him, and I could grow my book to a certain size and then buy it from him and leave. And just my wife and I, we just didn't have the timing of it, just wasn't right. Just didn't really have a piece about it. And ultimately ended up saying no to that, and just decided I was going to stay at that captive agency for a while, save up enough to go start my own thing, and had just kind of let it go. And probably about 2 weeks later, a guy that I'd known for a while just randomly texted me and was like, hey, I want to, can me and my wife go to dinner with you and your wife? My wife had taught his kids piano. So we already had a relationship, and I knew he was really entrepreneurial, involved in a bunch of other businesses. And we sat down and got to talking, and he hit me with the, you know, the proverbial question, what do you want to do with your life, man? What does the next 5-10 years look like? And I told him, it's like, man, I want to start my own insurance agency. Like, that's what I want to do. And kind of probing him, I was like, have you ever thought about insurance? He's like, no, tell me about it. So I kind of explained to him how insurance works and renewal and, you know, all this stuff. And he paused for a second, and he's like, let's do it. I was like, whoa, what do you mean let's do it? Like, what does that mean? He said, let's do it. He's like, I want to partner with you. I can help you get to the place that you want to go. You may not be in a place financially that you can take the risk to do this, because you know, relatively fresh out of college, your wife is staying at home with the kiddos, and it's like, it's going to be hard for you to do that. And I was like, okay, give me 2 weeks. Let me put together a business plan and pitch it to you, and let's see what goes from there. 2 weeks later, sat down with him and another guy that was his partner on some other things. And it was just, it was a mesh immediately. You know, it was just it felt good. It felt right. So we started the agency together, them with, you know, kind of backing me on the back end and helping me get the agency up and running and giving me a platform to not have to go immediately to zero, which was really helpful for us in the season that we were at, because I just didn't have the means to go from, you know, making an okay salary to nothing. We just right. weren't in a place to be able to do that.
But honestly, you didn't chase the money. You chased being your own boss, like being a manager, which is pretty sweet. Like that's a hard thing to do, Chris. That's a super hard thing to do, right?
It definitely was. I mean, it was really hard to say, man, I'm going to literally double my salary, but I'm going to say no to this because I'm playing the long game. I'm playing for 5 years down the road. I know that eventually that salary and that commission is going to be golden handcuffs for what I want to do. And I knew that I wanted to be the owner and be the one that ultimately got to have a say in big decisions. Not that I had to be the final say on stuff, but I'm the kind of person that if we're going to do something or if a decision's made, I'm going to ask why, just because I want to know and I want to understand and I'm naturally curious. And if I don't have the ability to do that, I'm going to get frustrated really quickly. So I knew that working for someone else, at least in that phase of life, what I was looking for didn't make sense, because the guy that I was working for was already a great setup. Like, yes, I could have made more money, but if I stayed at that agency, I was going to make that same amount of money over time after it caught up. It was just going to take a little bit of time. So to me, it was just making a decision for 5 and 10 years down the road rather than 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously from where I sit, I get to see a lot of different models, different partnerships, different agreements, different structures that agencies have built, you know, agency owners have built their agencies. My question for you is, why did you choose to engage in a partnership with someone who didn't know much about insurance? Like, tell me what that thought process went like, what that looked like, how, what that discussion looked like. What are the things you guys discussed before you did it? And just tell me what that looked like.
That's a great question. So in the beginning, when I originally started that conversation, I wanted that partnership for two reasons. One was knowledge, and you just don't know what you don't know. And these guys have been in business a lot longer than I had. So when I originally pitched them on the idea, I said, hey, I want to hire two producers day one and get rolling. That was the only thing in the proposal that they said no to. And the reason was, man, you've never ran or owned your own business before. If you start with two producers, there's no way you're going to make any money. There's no way this is going to be up and running. It's not going to get to where you want it to go. You don't need to do that. I said, I was frustrated in the moment, but looking back, I was like, okay, that way more wisdom than I had. So it was wisdom, it was input, and then frankly, it was money. Like, I really needed to have some type of a safety net to an extent, because with my wife staying at home at the time, we just couldn't go to zero. Because like I said, I'm a year and a half out of college, 2 years at the most out of college, and I didn't work any in college because I was playing football. So I didn't have any nest egg or any money that I could take to invest. And my outlook on it was, man, if I'm going to take money from someone, I'd much rather take it from a person than a bank. I don't want to pay a bank interest unless I have to. I'd much rather somebody else partner in this with me and have a stake in my success, because they're going to push me and help me to get to where I want to go. So it was wisdom. It was, you know, opportunity to have someone that had more knowledge of the business world than me, and to have some type of a safety net that I'm all for betting on myself, but it wasn't a time that I could push all the chips in. My wife and I needed something to make sure that we could sure. at least make it through the next 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get it. And did you talk about at all, like, the balance between what each partner brought to the table? Was that a thing at the beginning? Because clearly they brought business knowledge, they brought funding, they brought all kinds of like support, sounding board, which are all things, by the way, when you do this on your own, you're like, oh God, I'm on an island here. So those are really strong things to bring to the table. But at some point, I'm guessing there was an imbalance. Like, you gain that over time. Did you ever talk about what that inflection point would be, or did that come later?
It came later. It came with you coming in the picture with us. Obviously, you've been, you know, really involved with me and their relationship and whatnot. In the beginning, there was some rough talk about that, but there wasn't anything really put pen to paper. And I would say that looking back, if I could do anything differently, that would be the one thing that I think all three of us would agree that we would have done differently, to just have something that's really structured so that expectations are there. We didn't get into nothing really bad at all happened as far as frustrations around that. But if you've got any one of three people that are hot-headed or may get frustrated about something, that can blow up really, really quickly. Luckily, we didn't have that whatsoever. But, you know, the old saying, the only type of ship that doesn't float is a partnership. It's like, I think that there's times that that's true, but I also think that there's times that it's not. You know, that if the expectations are set correctly, partnerships can work fantastic. If you've got, I know that you guys are somewhat familiar with EOS. So if you've got one person that's a true visionary and one person that's a true integrator, and they're both partnering together and have ownership of a business, that's a great marriage, because that's really what a partnership is. I mean, you're doing life with these people. And if you don't have clear expectations set, it can get squirrely really, really quick.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. And here's what I would tell you, Chris, like there's a lot of partnerships that work from day one to the end, 100% they work. And I get to see those people. I get to see, and typically if it works, it's great communication that is constant. Like it's not just, we talked about it and then we kind of set it and forget it. It is, we have to redefine what this partnership is over time, which is why I asked, like, did you have the forethought to see, like, hey, at some point I'm the insurance guy. It was my understanding they never actually came in and sold insurance. There was never the intent for them to come in and be an active participant inside the agency. They were really there to help you start it and almost be like a board of advisors kind of situation, if I'm not mistaken, right?
For the most part, yes. There was some talks of one of them getting licensed and producing a little bit on the side. But it was a brief conversation, and that point of inflection for me definitely hit probably about year two, right? Maybe 18 months in, I kind of realized, okay, if I project out 10 years down the road, if we're still in this same situation that we're in right now, I'm going to be frustrated because I am the insurance guy. And if they're not involved in all of this, that frustration is going to happen for sure. And I'm sorry I keep hitting you guys with cliche quotes, but I feel like those hit home for me really, really well. One of my favorite quotes on communication is, the biggest misconception about communication is that it actually happens.
Right, right.
If you're not constantly having conversation and communication around what that relationship is looking like with any relationship, if you're not communicating, it can get out of whack really quickly. And I got to that point and just realized, man, I think I want to do this on my own, and I see a future that it makes much more sense for me to be the sole one doing this. So I did eventually, you know, approach them with wanting to buy them out to get to that point. And it just, you know, all started with communication. It all started with conversations and really open conversations. There's a book called Crucial Conversations. I don't know if either of y'all have read that.
It's a great book. It's a great book.
I bought it to read specifically for the conversations with my partners. And I told myself I cannot approach them with wanting to buy them out until I read this book, just because I wanted to have some type of wisdom from it. And one of the big things that it talks about is talking tentatively and not talking with a means of, we're going to do this, this is going to happen, but just asking for, do you see this pathway? Does this make sense? Just changing some of the questions at the end of sentences and whatnot. And I feel like that was really helpful for us. But to answer your question, yes, we did eventually get to that point of inflection of realizing, and if something doesn't change here, this could get bad on down the road.
What, like, take us in that room of when the conversation, when you started the conversation, what was that like? Did they see it coming, or was it a surprise? How did that play out?
It was definitely a surprise for both of them. I think they both saw this as a kind of forever thing for them that they wanted to be involved in for a long time. And if you look at the, you know, the business model of insurance, it makes a lot of sense. Like, that's something you definitely want to be engaged in for a long time, because it's, if you do it right, it's going to consistently grow and it's going to snowball and build. And that's great. And renewals are a real thing. So it makes sense to want to be into it for a long time. But it was definitely, there was a lot of sweat and stress put into me having that conversation from my standpoint of that. I actually I feel kind of cheesy for saying this, but it was super helpful for me. I actually role played with myself that conversation of how I was going to communicate it, like wrote it out on paper because I wanted to make sure that my emotions didn't flare in a nervous emotion and not explain what I wanted to explain or not get across the fact that I tried to tell both of them through the whole thing. It's like, man, guys, I'm not here without you. Like, I hope that you realize that I respect that and I appreciate it. And this whole LTN thing doesn't happen without you guys backing me and without you taking a bet on me. So I want to make sure and like respect that and respect who you guys are in this relationship before even addressing, okay, hey, I respect you, I love you, but I want to move on without you, you know?
Right. So before you go anywhere with that, I just have to tell you something. It's not cheesy that you actually role played because I just sat in a I'm going to go on a tangent for just a second, but I think it's so critically important going in without preparation to have any crucial conversation might be one of the biggest mistakes you can ever make. So I just did a workshop where we spoke to current agency owners that are looking to transition in the morning, and we spoke to those that want to be agency owners in the afternoon. And about 45 minutes of the conversation was about how do I even start the conversation with my current owner to say, I want to step up to the plate. And we were literally giving ideas and showing them the different side. Like, listen, if you come at it this way, you're going to put the current owner on the defensive. If you say these things, you're not going to get the response that you want. And I think it's so critically important. It shows how much you cared about your partners that you took the time to read a book, think about what you were going to say, role play, and acknowledge all of the contributions that they've had. It doesn't change the fact, though, that you want to do something different. It's just a matter of you have to approach it in a way that shows you've got a high emotional intelligence. There's really no other way to say that. I mean, I'm using some cliche things, but that's the reality. You can't just go like gangbusters and say, this is the way I want it. And the other thing is, you can't expect it to be overnight. So from the moment you had the first conversation to actually, ending the partnership was not a short period of time. Chris, I don't know how long it is, but you probably know to the day. But again, you have to have the right expectations, right?
Yes, to answer that question, it was almost 12 months to the day from the first
Yeah.
conversation to the official money is issued, account in accounts, buyout is done. It was almost 12 months to the day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a lot of work to do that. There were iterations, there were different conversations. I mean, you had some additional complications in there where you had a producer who wanted to buy their book, but we don't, maybe that's a whole nother podcast. But my point is, this isn't like a, hey, I changed my mind, therefore we're going to sign papers in 30 days and everything's good to go. That's a terrible thought process because that's not how you didn't come together that quickly and you're not going to exit that quickly. You have to give it the time and attention that it needs. So hats off to you that you were role playing. I don't think that's cheesy in the least. I hope that everybody listening to this, if they've got a crucial conversation to have with someone, any part of your life, I think you should take the time to prepare for it. No doubt about it, right?
No, I love that. I love that. I'm kind of a walking sports analogy because sports just kind of raised me as a person. So if you look at any of these great athletes, the Tom Brady's, the Michael Jordan's, the Kobe Bryant's, the thing that they're always going to tell you is the preparation is what made them as successful as they are. Because talent can only take you so far. And that's really cliche, but it's true. We used to always say with football, it's like the eye in the sky doesn't lie. The person that watches the most film and knows what their opponent is going to do and how they line up in a specific formation and whatnot, that's what really takes you to the next level. Because you can only be so good at sales. You can only be so good at communication. If you don't have any form of preparation behind that, it's going to fall flat.
Agreed.
What do you think made the partnership so great about like when you chose those two people to partner, what was the thing that just allowed you to work together so well?
That's a great question. So one of the things that my wife and I really sat and prayed over and thought through and sought a lot of counsel about when we were going into that partnership was just those guys having a sense of humility and having a sense of willingness to listen and talk and be open. Because if you don't have any form of openness, it's just going to be awful. And one example of that, the very first meeting that we had, I'd already told them what I wanted to name the agency. And I was like, yeah, I want to name it LTN Insurance, and kind of, you know, gave them the background of why I wanted to call it that, what the name stood for. And we sat down at that meeting, and the very first thing that they did was they slid over a piece of paper to me that they had already purchased the LLC name. And they told me, they said, look, however this relationship goes, however this conversation goes, at the end of this meeting, you're walking away with this. You own this. You take this LLC and you go do it, even if it's without us. So I knew, like, immediately, 3 minutes into this conversation, I'm like, okay, these are guys that I want to do business with. And honestly, I would do business with them again tomorrow. It would just, you know, expectations and structure would just be a little bit different, is the only thing that I would say. But it was mutually beneficial for both of us through the entire relationship. And I think that came from an openness from both sides and a willingness from both sides to trust each other. And to, I think we all three kind of learned pretty quickly. Like, I don't necessarily like for somebody to call and ask me a question line item by line item about stuff. Like, I'm kind of a big picture bullet point. Like, hey, does this make sense? Does this make sense? Okay, pull the trigger and let's go. Where one of the guys is a little bit more detailed. And I think that he and I just realized that we meshed really well. If I went to present something to him, it was detailed. And I told him, like, hey, if I'm going to spend X amount of money, this is the return that I expect, so on and so forth. Where the other guy was like, dude, as long as your bank account's not negative, spend as much money as you want. I don't care. He's like, as long as it makes sense, do it. So
don't do that, right, Chris, right. By the way. Let's just say, like, that's not what the answer is.
And both of those guys, one of them is on an extreme risk tolerance spectrum. The other one was kind of on this other side. And I kind of waver in the middle. So we had this perfect balance between the three of us of, if we wanted to make a decision, all right, the risk is here, the pros are here, what's the middle ground and how do we find the truth in the middle?
Yeah. It sounds like you guys entered with the right ideas, maybe didn't discuss every single detail, but also exited in a really positive way, which is not a lot of people can say that. I will tell you, for me, when I see partnerships, unfortunately, with the line of work that I'm in, oftentimes they haven't talked about exit. And they haven't talked about level of performance. They haven't talked about bringing family into the business. Like, there's a lot of things that change over time. It all sounds good, but fast forward 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and it changes. And the lines of communication have not stayed open. Therefore, we're at this point where now we don't, and it can really hurt the business. So I'm super excited for you that it worked. I know that we've given advice all throughout this conversation, but if you had to give 3 to 5 bits of advice of someone who's thinking about partnership, now that you've done it, you're now not in a partnership, you are the sole owner of LTN Insurance. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyway, if there is, if there's 3 to 5 things that you would say, hey, listen, do these things if you're thinking about going into partnership with someone, what would those be for you?
The first one that I would say is that you have to tell the truth. And what I mean by that is you have to share with the person what your end goal is 10 years down the road. Like I told those guys in that very first meeting, I said, look, if this partnership does not get me to sitting on the other side of the table where I would have the funds to invest in a business like you guys are doing in 10 years, I'm not doing it. That's my goal, is to get to the point of being able to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I think that you have to be willing to tell the truth, and you have to be willing to share what you're actually thinking and what you're actually feeling and communicate open. If you don't do that, it's going to fail no matter what, in my opinion. I would say that the second thing has to be, you've got to determine what the structure of this business is going to be and who does what. If there's not some type of outlined communication around an accountability chart, or around, hey, Chris is the sales guy, we want him to solely focus on sales. Johnny is the finance guy, we want him to own the finance seat or own this part of the business. That's where lines can kind of get muddied, you know, because anything that has to do with business and business ownership and all that fun stuff, ego can get in the way really, really fast. And, well, I built this company. Well, I brought on all the sales. Well, I managed the money, da, 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 da. And if you don't have clear expectations around that stuff, it can just get wonky really, really quick. Along those same lines, I think that you've got to understand, the third thing that I would say is you've got to understand the strengths and weaknesses of the people that you're partnering with. And if you're partnering with somebody that's just like you, it's probably not going to go well unless you've got a third leg of that, or you hire somebody that's the polar opposite. And like me, I'm big picture, move really, really fast, like to, you know, just like to juggle a lot of balls in the air. And if I bring somebody else on that's the exact same way, well, there's no structure to this business. When we go to hire people, it's, you know, they're just thrown in the fire. They have no training. They have no this. I think that you have to know and learn each other's strengths and weaknesses and be able to play off that and find, you know, hire to your weaknesses to find people that are really, really good at the stuff that you're not good at.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I love that bit of advice. I truly do. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that go into partnership and they think about all the upside, but the reality is with any relationship, you know, there's good days, there's bad days, there's pros, there's cons. If you find someone that you want to be in partnership with and you've not asked yourself, do they have the strengths that are going to complement my weaknesses and vice versa? If you've not stopped and thought about that, you got to really think, what are we doing? Like at some point, it's not going to be a balanced relationship at some point, right? It can't be. I'd say that for marriage. I'd say that for friendships. I'd say that for a lot of things, right? And it's good that it sounds like you had a really nice balance. I mean, you had someone super detailed. Good for you, because most people do not want to surround themselves with people that are going to challenge them in the places where they're not strong. I think that might be one of the cores that cause partnerships. That whole, the only ship that doesn't float is a partnership, is because we want to surround ourselves with people just like us, because that's who we gravitate to, right? So you really have to be intentional about who you put next to you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Well, Chris, it was great to have you on. I definitely learned so much, and I already ordered 2 books on Amazon as we were talking. So that's always a good conversation to leave. If someone wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
They can definitely find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, or you can shoot me an email, find us on our website. My email is just chris@ltninsurance.com. Please feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to chat about anything, you know, partnership related, agency related. I've had people in my corner. One of them we were talking about a second ago called me during the middle of this podcast and interrupted us, funny enough, that you've got to have people that you can bounce ideas off of, because if you don't, it's a much more difficult place to be if you're trying to do it alone.
I agree. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate you sharing your story. I hope that it helps someone else that's thinking about partnership. And I am confident people will be better if they reach out and talk to you. No question about it.
Thank you. You guys are doing great work. I'm stoked to have been on here.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Insurance Refocus podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave us a review so you'll never miss us. Want to learn more about how Agency Focus can help you grow your agency? Head to agency-focus.com or email Carrie directly at carrie@agency-focus.com. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to shoot me an email at lindsay@agency-focus.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.